For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown! Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
We're glad to have you with us from St. Thomas Sports Park for the Mike Mularkey Show here on Titans Radio. The head coach is not with us at this moment. He will be joining us later in the program because this year, for the fourth year, the Titans are teaming up with Bridge Ministries to feed the homeless a Thanksgiving meal under the Jefferson Street Bridge right now. That's happening. More than 500 homeless were provided with a holiday meal through last year's event. Toiletry items, groceries, and winter clothing also being distributed. And again, that's going on right now. The Titans, coaches, players, cheerleaders, staff, and Bridge Ministries working together to do something really special under the Jefferson Street Bridge right now to sort of give everybody the thought about what Thanksgiving is all about. So here to begin the program with me is Coach Dave McGinnis, my Titans Radio game day analyst. Awesome thing that this organization is doing right now to take care of the homeless in downtown Nashville.
You know, it really is, Mike. I've been, of course, you know, in the National Football League all these years, and clubs do this, and I've been very impressed since I've gotten back just to see, you know, the Titans' involvement in the community. Amy Adams, of course, clearly, Mike Mularkey, Tina Tuggle does a great job with her community relations staff, and this is a wonderful thing. And of course, you know, you and I both know, I mean, we're very blessed in what goes on in our life, and there are so many people, you know, in Nashville and NFL cities all across the country that aren't as blessed. And so this is a very, very good thing, and believe me, it is something that's very, very important.
Coach Mularkey will join us later in the program, as will General Manager John Robinson. But Coach Mack, sort of set the stage for us right now. Titans held a practice yesterday to get the week started. Coming off this sort of extra bye weekend following the Thursday night game, what was yesterday's practice all about?
Well, yesterday's practice, first of all, I mean, they've probably gone through a few corrections from things that didn't go right in the Pittsburgh game. But, you know, you're on to Indy because the way this league and the way this season is progressing, especially in the AFC, they're still sitting in very good position as far as a tournament run here. You cannot. I mean, they're focused on Indianapolis because you watch Indy before they went on their bye week. The game that they gave Pittsburgh that we just played, they took Pittsburgh right down to the wire. So everything is going to focus on the things that you didn't do right against Pittsburgh. Let's get those cleaned up, but let's put everything we've got onto Indy in this preparation because this is a division game. You can throw records out in this football game because it doesn't matter. You're going up there to play at their place. They're rested after a week. So your question to me was, what are they doing now? They're focusing everything on the things that Indy did in the last ball game where we beat them here, the things Indy will try to flip to do better so that we can't beat them up there. So everything's focused on Indy.
Indy's defense, with all these new guys from a year ago and even more new guys since we saw them a month ago, has really played well as of late. What has Ted Monachino been able to do so well with this defense?
Well, Ted's an experienced coach in this league, and what he's been able to do, you know, their defensive front is playing pretty well, and he's been able to use some of his people in the secondary to fortify some of his run defense. But the main thing that he's done is I think he's simplified some of the things he's doing so that his players can play faster, they can get more in tune with each other, learn to trust each other from the first to the second to the third level of defense, not try to make a whole lot of, you know, plays on their own. The other thing that's helped this football team a lot, and I know you're probably getting ready to ask this question, Jacoby Brissett is getting better. He's getting better every week. And, you know, he's been up there. I know when he first came in that, you know, he learned the offense sitting with Brian Schottenheimer in his office, trying to catch up once he came in from New England. This guy right now is the key to what goes on. You know, he and T.Y. Hilton are the key to what makes this thing work. And if you know that you've got a guy that is running the show on offense as a defensive coach, simplify what you're doing, cut down your mental mistakes first, and then just let your guys play fast to the ball, you're probably going to be in all ball games, which if you look at the ball games, they've been in most of their ball games going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they've played exceptionally well against some very good opponents. Their record is only 3-7, and they've had some difficulties without question. But it's a well-coached team that's done a nice job through a lot of adversity this year.
Right, and again, you can, and a lot of adversity, and starting off with losing their franchise quarterback, you know, and then the other injuries that have come on. But you can't, and again, I know that this staff is so experienced, and these players know where they are sitting right now with this season sitting on where it is. You can't even begin to think beyond this team right now. This is a big football game for the Titans this weekend.
Titans snapped a long losing streak to the Colts last month. Now they try to go to Indianapolis and win for the first time ever at Lucas Oil Stadium. 10 years in the making, so to speak. I asked you this a month ago, and you said that the Titans didn't really spend a lot of time on the losing streak because they all weren't here. But what about going to a stadium where you've never won before?
Well, and I think I've been on a lot of teams, and I've been in a lot of different situations, and I really never worried about the venue where you play. I worried about who was coming off the bus to walk into that venue. This is a good football team here. They're going up there to play a desperate football team. They're desperate for a lot of reasons. You know, there's always speculation now on Chuck Pagano's job. You know, there's a lot of things swirling around Andrew Luck. Was he handled right? Was he not handled right? The concussion protocol with Brissett in the last game. I mean, so when you have teams that you're playing like this, and you and I have talked about this, Mike, as a coach, the thing that always bothered me was going in to play a team that never won a game and going in to play a team that was desperate, that was trying not to be embarrassed. That's what they're playing right now. And so I don't worry about the venue. All I concentrate on is the people I'm taking into the stadium and how we match up with what we're going into.
The Titans focusing on tightening up several things this week, Dave McGinnis. A couple things in the passing game. What do they have to do better in the passing game to avoid some of the mistakes that they've seen, particularly in the game at Pittsburgh?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, you know, clearly, and Mike, you know, alluded to this, you know, in his press conference. I mean, you've got to get the receivers coming back to the ball, running right. You've got to get your protection. You've got to get your protection, you know, squared up and squared away. And then, you know, a couple of those interceptions on Thursday night were just bad throws and bad decisions. And, you know, you've got to take those out of it, too. And so all of those things are correctable, but the thing that has to happen is what you do, you don't gloss over things, and this staff does not do that. I know that personally because I know the people. You go in and you're very honest, you pinpoint what went wrong, but in the passing game, it usually boils down to either, you know, you have to be on the same page, quarterback has to make good decisions, receivers have to run the right routes, come back to the ball, and then you've got to be able to catch it when it's thrown to you. And because this passing game here opens up enough windows and enough avenues, but that to me is what's got to happen, and that's what they're working on.
Harry Douglas is eligible to come off injured reserve, began practice yesterday. If he is healthy enough and in shape enough to play on Sunday, where can Harry Douglas help this wide receiving core?
Well, to me, you get an experienced guy. You get experience, and of course, but all of that stuff, Mike, I mean, as we sit here today, you know, before the ball game, you won't know that till we've completely seen him practice. And then of course, I mean, it's always, you know, I was always, you know, all the years that I've coached in this league and been involved with bringing players back off of IR, you know, bringing them back into the mix, you've got to really be sure they get, because you can do a lot of things, but to get up to game speed, it takes you a while. But anytime you're inserting experience into the lineup, especially at this time of year when you're trying to make a push for the tournament, it always helps.
It was really interesting about Harry, though. He's been at every practice. He's been serving, in essence, as the assistant wide receiver coach for the entire season. So he's been here. He's been in all the meetings. A lot of guys on IR leave and go rehab somewhere else and don't come out on the practice field. How much would that help him potentially getting back up to speed?
Tremendously, because he's mentally up to speed. Mentally, he's in tune with what's going on. Now you're talking about getting up to NFL speed on game day. That only comes from practicing at NFL speed during practice, and then sooner or later, you got to cut him loose and let him go.
All right, couple NFL questions. Philadelphia bombs Dallas on Sunday night. How good are the Eagles?
You know, they're really playing great team football. Tremendous team football. Jim Schwartz has got that defense rolling. I just was in contact with Chris Long yesterday. You know, we just exchanged happy thanks because I was there with the Rams for years and know he and his family very well. And just, you know, I said, you're really playing well. He said, Mac, we're really playing together. And there's a big belief on this football team that we can really do something special. You can see that in the Eagles. I mean, they are hitting on all cylinders, but they're a confident football team. You can see confidence when you watch it. They're a confident football team right now.
All right, so you watch them on TV. You saw Pittsburgh in person last Thursday night. Does Pennsylvania have the two best teams in the NFL right now?
They've got the two teams that are playing the best in the NFL right now. I don't know if they have the two best teams, but they've got the two best teams that are playing at their best right now. So to answer your question, they've got two teams in that state that are really playing good NFL football in November, which is important.
Coach Mack, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Mike. Happy Thanksgiving to you, brother.
All right. We'll see Coach Mack, of course, with us in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium come this Sunday for our broadcast. We're on the air at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern, the Titans and the Colts. We've got a lot more to talk about previewing this game with head coach Mike Mularkey and general manager John Robinson. That's up next on the Mike Mularkey Show. We're glad you're with us on this Tuesday night before Thanksgiving as we get ready for more of the Mike Mularkey Show. I'm Mike Keith, taking your calls at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Your Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Coach Mike Mularkey scheduled to join us momentarily. A couple of NFL headlines. Seattle Seahawks cut pass rusher Dwight Freeney today. 3 sacks in 4 games, giving him 125.5 in his illustrious career. Freeney, with those 3 sacks, had just as many in 4 contests as he did in 15 games last year with the Atlanta Falcons. Apparently, the Seahawks need a player who can contribute more rather than just be a situational pass rusher. So Dwight Freeney will be back on the market tomorrow as Seattle cuts him. Raiders have made a move at defensive coordinator. They have fired embattled Ken Norton Jr. He'll be replaced by the veteran John Pagano. So when Oakland takes on Denver this week, new offensive coordinator for the Broncos, Bill Musgrave, replacing Mike McCoy. New defensive coordinator for Oakland, John Pagano, replacing Jack Del Rio. So 2 coordinator moves made in the AFC West this week. Reports out of Denver, too, saying that the Broncos will have a new quarterback, former Memphis Tiger Paxton Lynch, going to get his first start of the 2017 season. Brock Osweiler started the last 2 games taking over for Trevor Siemian, but Lynch is back, supposedly healthy and ready to go. Last year, Lynch made a couple of starts through for just under 500 yards, a couple of touchdowns and an interception, completing 49 of 83 passes on the season. So those are a few of the headlines from around the National Football League. Of course, the Titans at 6-4 are preparing to take on the Indianapolis Colts, a team that they defeated back on October the 16th with 21 points in the fourth quarter. Titans win that game 36-22. Good night for Marcus Mariota as he throws for 306 yards. Impressively so, because Mariota coming back to play with that hamstring still bothering him, had to stay in the pocket all night long. And outside of a John Simon interception that was returned for a touchdown, Mariota did a very nice job in that contest, helping the Titans pull out the victory. He will certainly be more mobile in this game. which would be good news for Tennessee, able to move him around against an Indianapolis defense, as Coach Mack and I were just discussing, that has really improved. They were a defense put together for in the future. Most of their starting lineup not even with them in 2017 to begin the year, and added throughout the course of the year through free agency and the draft. And they feel like they've made a lot of progress. They have certainly played well in the last three games. And so more of a challenge for the Titans there. And the Titans hopefully going to have more weapons to challenge the Colts on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Mike Mularkey joins us by phone now. He has been with the rest of the Titans organization, combining with Bridge Ministries to help feed the homeless tonight. Coach, I know that's something special that you very much like to be a part of with players, coaches, staff, and families.
I do. It's really a great opportunity to get out in the community and help others that are less fortunate, and really to be with the number of players here and obviously Titan staff together to do this. It's very blessed to have this opportunity, and wish I could be in there with you, but this is important for this organization to help out Bridge Ministries at this time with the homeless.
Mike, how different is it preparing for Indianapolis now than it was 6 weeks ago?
Not a lot different. A couple different personnel, whether the release of like Vontae Davis or Hooker being injured. There's not a lot that is going to change. I think they're playing better at this time. Obviously, Jacoby Brissett's got a lot of much more experience, game experience under his belt. I think he's playing better. I think they're just playing better as a team. And, they've had leads, four of their seven losses. They've had the lead in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, a lot of their games are very close. And typically when we play them, that's kind of been the case since I've been here, very close games. And, fortunately we finally beat them this last time.
We were discussing their improving defense and how well they've played in the last three games. What are they doing better defensively than they were in the season's first seven games?
Well, it's not a very complicated scheme. They all know where to be. It's very similar to some of the teams we played with the 3-4 scheme. It's not complicated. It's very sound. I think that's why you've seen the success of a Coach LeBeau defense over the years. There's not a lot of moving parts, and there's not a lot of guys out of place. They all are playing their role very, very well. Again, it's a physical defense. They're not bending very much, and that's they're as they play better, they're gaining more confidence.
One of the stunning things about the Colts is they're 3-7, and yet they have a positive turnover ratio. Brissett and that offense has taken care of the ball, and the defense has been able to take it away from the opposition. They're certainly giving themselves chances to win.
Right. No, they have. And, they've lost a lot of close games. That's typically not the case when you win that turnover battle. You're typically winning more games. And that certainly can't be a factor in our game. We cannot allow that to come into play against this football team. It just, we've all learned tough lessons with the turnovers. It's tough to win.
You get back to the practice field tomorrow. You had a workout yesterday, basically a bonus day after playing the Thursday night game, but the real practice week begins tomorrow. Is there an anticipation that you're going to have all 53 men able to practice on Wednesday?
I think that's the case. I give credit to our players for how they've really taken care of themselves, our training staff, our guys in the weight room, the strength staff, just the program that we put on here. First of all, the players have bought in and follow it. And, this is, again, second year, we've pretty healthy for this time of year, which is not the case for most teams. And a lot of the credit, I have to say, goes to the players because it takes extra time out of their day to, get in the recovery program, which is important.
Mike Mularkey Show on Titans Radio, visiting with the head coach as he travels back to St. Thomas Sports Park after being with the team that joined with Bridge Ministries tonight to feed the homeless in downtown Nashville. And, Coach, let me ask you about Harry Douglas. He's been on the injured reserve with the designation to return. You have started his practice clock now. What do you need to see from Harry Douglas
to go ahead and be able to activate him and hopefully have him ready to play soon?
I need to see Harry's back to the player that we all know Harry to be. He's very consistent, makes plays when in a lot of contested throws. Very smart player, can play a lot of positions. Just need to see that he's back and knees holding up well. And, you know, the fortunate thing is we don't have to make a decision right away. This is something we can we have a couple weeks to look at him and really look at our roster to see where that spot would have to come if we do bring Harry back.
Hypothetically, if he were going to play, say, this week, when would you feel like you'd have to make that decision? Could you wait all the way to Saturday?
You do have that time. I don't know if we would do that to him because you really need to get him a chance to get in with the offense and run reps. You don't want to take away from anybody that may not get them. And so that'd be difficult to do. We'll see. John and I will discuss it daily with the progress of Harry.
Good problem to have, right, Coach?
Yeah, it is. It's a good problem. Good to have Harry back. He's been phenomenal in the meeting rooms and on the – you know, Harry travels with us. He's on the sideline during games. He's like another coach, and players really respect how Harry works.
One of the more unusual situations I've ever seen with a player who's been on IR. Of course, this designation thing is relatively new, and yet most guys who are on IR stay in the training room. They might observe some practice. Harry's seen all of practice. He's been involved in all of the practices.
Harry's been in everything. He's been in every meeting. He's everything that, you know, is under the rules of the NFL with being on IR. Harry has really abided by and done a phenomenal job, again, of just being able to help. We get some young receivers, obviously, and his experience is invaluable.
Ask you this, too. How much is study from the first Colts game tape, the one from October the 16th, how much does that factor into your preparation for the game in Indianapolis this Sunday?
They all matter. All the games that you look at, and again, it will play into our game plan, which we're in the process of doing. That's our Monday. We're into the Tuesday part of it, which is first, second, third down. And again, we're looking at it pretty extensively. We always do, and you know, we go back even to games from last year if we have to. But it does help, no question about it.
Mike Mularkey, talking Titans football, getting ready for this upcoming game with the Indianapolis Colts. Another division game, a chance to go to 3-1 in the division, a chance to sweep the season series from the Colts, win at Lucas Oil Stadium. I mean, you know all the things that are being talked about on the outside right now. Is it hard to drown out that sort of noise for the coaches and the players?
We talk about it. You know, it's hard more for the players because they're out in the, you know, out and about. The coaches are kind of captured in this building with their game planning, and there's really not a lot that we can do about it. I'll talk to the team about it again, you know, because I want them to be aware of the questions they're going to be asked when the media comes in the locker room. I want them to have something prepared so they're not caught off guard. But we've broken some of those strings, this year and last year, and we're going to continue to do that if we can.
All right, so normally the players have to weigh in on Thursday. With Thanksgiving, do you move the weigh in to Friday?
If I did that, there'd be a rebellion in this building. I can assure you that would not be a good move on my part. So I'll keep it Thursday. And I will not reweigh them because I don't think it'll be pretty Friday. But,
might be some fine money there, huh?
No, they've been really good about it. It used to be Fridays. A bunch of the leaders came in and asked me if we could move it to Thursdays because they really do it, you know, probably not this Thursday, but most Thursdays, our team in some capacity by position, they go and have dinner together. And,
sure.
And some positions go to dinners with other positions on Thursday nights. And I didn't want to take away from that by having a weigh-in on Friday and those guys not have that time together out of the building, which I think is really important.
Coach, we appreciate the time so much, and I know speaking for everybody, we appreciate what you and the organization were doing tonight in conjunction with Bridge Ministries helping to feed the homeless in downtown Nashville. Great thing, and thanks so much for joining us by phone.
Okay, Mike. Thanks again. Good talking to you.
Time for our Pinnacle moment of the game. Sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray football. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Mariota with a play fake. Opening up, throwing deep down the middle. He's got Matthews, 40, 30, 25, 20. Breaks a tackle, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans, 75 yards. How do you like that to start half number two?
We welcome you back to the Mike Mularkey Show. We're now joined by Titans General Manager John Robinson, who will be taking your calls at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Hello, General Manager John Robinson.
Good evening. How are we doing?
I'm doing fine. You ready to get to the phones?
Sure, let's go.
Let's just jump right in. Tommy in Lawrenceburg, you do not have to wait long for the GM. It's John Robinson sitting in on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Just like to, first of all, wish both of you in advance a happy Thanksgiving. And my question is, the Thursday night games are so universally disliked by the players. Do you foresee a time when maybe those would be discontinued other than, of course, the Thanksgiving Day games?
Yeah, thanks for the holiday wishes, Tommy. Same to you and your family. I don't know. We meet about that stuff in the spring. We go through proposals and talk through things with the league at the annual league meetings in March. I'm sure that will be a topic that comes up and we'll talk about it and discuss it. You know, what are the pros and cons and how it benefits the league and the teams.
But no one had ever really complained about Thanksgiving football before, and you're only asked to do it one time.
Yeah, that's right. And I think they've got, what, how many games are this Thursday? Three?
Three
stacked up, yeah. So,
like, people don't think that's fantastic. I mean, you plan your meals around the Detroit game and the Dallas game, and now you got a night game. I mean, it's heaven.
Yeah, I don't get to do that anymore, but I can remember growing up over in Union City, and there was nothing better than mom's sweet potato casserole and little giblet gravy and stuffing, and going back for round two, three, and four as the games proceeded.
The turkey sandwich about 7:30 at night mayo.
As you said, it was a heavenly day.
Oh, and go out and play football in the yard for a while in between games or something.
Yeah, me and my sister ran the Statue of Liberty play about 58 times. Scored every time.
Every time. All right, Luke has this question on Twitter, at Titans Radio. Adoree Jackson gets a lot of attention because he's flashy, but it seems like Logan Ryan has also done a lot to help transform the secondary. How has Ryan helped the defense playing both outside and in the slot?
Yeah, great question. You know, he's played a lot of good football for a team up there in New England, and I had a history with him. He's been a nice steadying force back there for Adoree and Kevin Byard and some of our younger players, LaShawn Sims. The fact that he can play two positions and give us some flexibility, he's good in run support when he's closer down to the core of the formation, and he's a pretty savvy player. The one play the other night that Antonio made, I don't know that play gets made nine other times if it's thrown that way. So he's been really good for our football team.
Mike wants to know, this is really a two-parter. How hard is it to defend the no-huddle offense, and why? And why haven't we used it more? Speaking of the Titans,
yeah, the no-huddle offense, especially when it's communication, you got to be able to get the call in quickly. You got to be able to get lined up quickly, substitute in quickly. If they're subbing personnel, it's something that you. There's a lot of moving parts that go with it. For us, we've jumped in it a couple times and jumped out of it. It's really game specific, when you're going to go tempo and go no huddle, depending upon the situation, how you want to play it and how your opponent defends it. Some opponents defend it really, really well. So, you're kind of beating your head against the wall when you do it. Others not so well. So, the coaches analyze that and determine when we're going to jump in it and or jump out of it.
Statistics all over the place. You can look at you know, a lot of different things to make points. But one thing that jumps out to me, last three games, 8 possessions in the red zone, 7 touchdowns. A dramatic difference from what you were the first 7 games of the year. As you break down the tape, can you specifically tell what you're doing better in the red zone against really good red zone defenses?
Yeah, no question. I think it's just we're executing and we're more detailed with everything down there. It's you know, that was a real point of emphasis for us here, kind of in the middle part of this season when, you know, we were struggling a little bit early on. So, you know, we really worked on it at practice. Worked on plays. If it didn't work, we would rerun it in practice to make sure we executed it correctly so that when we got in the game, it was a little easier for us.
877-848-2671. John Robinson sitting in for Mike Mularkey tonight on the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian in Bowling Green, thank you so much for phoning the program. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Gobble, gobble. Mike, John, good to be on. I get a quick question for the general manager there. First of all, I want to tell you I believe you're an absolute genius, and I speak for a lot of people in Southern Kentucky. We all feel like you've done some amazing things down there the last 2 or 3 years. And with that said, WKU Hilltopper grad here, and I wanted to talk about maybe Taywan Taylor. You know, you got Rashad Matthews, you got Delaney Walker, some other guys getting a lot of targets. As we progress to the playoffs, guys, how much do you see – Taylor's role growing and progressing?
I appreciate the question. Gobble, gobble to you. I hope my wife was listening when you said I was a genius, because I don't get that very often.
We tell you that all the time.
Yeah, you know, Taywan is he had a huge play for us in the Colts game. He's really fast. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's learning the offense. He has a couple plays a game, you know, whether it be speed sweeps or some underneath catch and run plays or pushing the stuff vertical, which a lot of that kind of gets unnoticed because he's pulling coverage with him and it opens stuff up underneath for other players. He is definitely a pivotal part of the offense and has big play potential for us.
A lot of upside too.
It is, and football is very important to Taywan. He's an extremely he's just a really neat guy, and I'm glad he's on this football team. He works tirelessly at his craft. He's going to be a good player in this league for us.
Yeah, one stat about him jumps out. He has 3 special teams tackles, so he's playing teams and doing a good job. He also has 3 tackles after a fumble or an interception when the offensive players have to become defensive players. And normally the tackles were always made by Taylor Lewan or Delaney Walker, and now there's another guy who goes and looks people up.
Yeah, he's feisty. He's aggressive. You know, he's done some good things for us on the kick coverage stuff, especially at gunner. He's quick at the line of scrimmage, so it's tough for those vice guys to kind of get a jam on him. And, you know, he can stack them and get down in field and either make a tackle or force a fair catch. So he plays a lot of roles for the football team, both offensively and in the kick game.
Another rookie who's done well, 44 tackles on the year, Jayon Brown, just continuing to progress.
Yeah, he's, you know, I thought the stage was certainly not too big for Jayon the other night, Thursday Night Football, up in Pittsburgh, you know, perennial power in this league, pretty hostile environment. They were loud. You know, he was – his challenge was to cover Le'Veon Bell, who's really good on third down, Pro Bowl, one of the best backs in the league. And, you know, he didn't blink. You know, he matched him pretty good a couple times, took it away from him, and he's another one that really enjoys playing football. He's a smart football player, and he has fun playing.
877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Your opportunity to visit with Titans general manager John Robinson via call or Twitter as we continue on the Mike Mularkey Show. Titans Radio on a Tuesday night. Glad to have you with us. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening. Know some people probably on their way already to Grandma's house a day early. Get there and visit with everybody. A lot of football coming up this weekend on the way to Indianapolis. Titans trying to win at Lucas Oil Stadium for the first time. One at the old place at the RCA Dome as it was closing down in 2007.
Yeah, it'd be good to get one Sunday.
It truly would. It truly would. The Titans have not swept the Colts in 15 years. So it would be good to change
that'd
that
be
as
great.
Well.
That'd be great, too. Yeah, that'd be a good holiday weekend.
It would be a good holiday weekend. The Colts are, you know, they're a little bit of a team in transition, especially on defense. We were talking about it earlier in the show with Dave McGinnis about what a nice job they've done sort of with remaking this defense personnel-wise and how well they're playing right now. It's, I mean, they really held the Steelers in check. They drove them crazy all afternoon. If not for a great Ryan Shazier interception, Pittsburgh doesn't win that game.
Yeah, they've Chris and the staff has really done a nice job of kind of churning that side of the ball. You know, Jabal Sheard's playing really, really good football right now. I've always been a fan of his. You know, John Simon's likely to be back. Sounds like they might get Gathers back at safety this week. So, you know, they've lost some guys. You know, they lost Vontae Davis, but Pierre Desir is a longer corner. He stepped up and is playing good football. And inside, you know, they lost Anderson, but Marcus Hunt, who's another big long guy, he's plugged right in there and, you know, kept chugging along. So, you know, they do a nice job of you know, trying to stuff the run and load the box up there and use their length at corner. They got two really long corners out there, and they've got a rookie Hairston that's playing nickel for them from Temple, who's a former receiver that moved over. And, you know, they're playing really good team football over their own defense.
And what I guess really jumps out is they're not making big mistakes on defense lately. Early in the year, making all kinds of mistakes. First seven games of the year, they gave up 40 completions of 20 yards or more. In the last three games, they've given up seven. So they're cutting out the mistakes, and they're making you go the long, hard way, which sounds exactly like what Chuck Pagano was as a defensive coordinator before he became their head coach.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the statistics compared to ours, but it's very similar to kind of the transition that we've made. You know, we're kind of finding our way early on the season defensively, and we've done better here of late. And I think they're kind of doing the same thing. They're kind of finding their groove a little bit. You know, injuries happen throughout the course of the league. Knock on wood, we can stay, you know, relatively healthy. But you know, it's been the next man up philosophy up there, and they've plugged along and played pretty good.
Defensively, the pass defense in the first half against Pittsburgh outside of the first drive did a nice job, and then in the second half, Roethlisberger just got red hot. Do you write more of that off to Roethlisberger getting hot or the defensive secondary and their performance? How do you not let it get in the way of their progress, I guess is what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's we're on to Indianapolis, and you know, we've looked at the tape from the Pittsburgh game, and you know, I think it was, you know, Ben's played a lot of football at a high level in this league. He's won Super Bowls, and he found a groove there in the second half and was able to find some open guys, and we weren't able to quite get to him in time to you know, put him on the ground or rattle him enough. So we got to do a good job this week of, you know, going against Brissett, who made some plays against us here on Monday night. We've got to do a good job of playing disciplined defense, playing the technique, executing, you know, matching routes and being disciplined in our zone coverage and getting after him.
I'll give you a Brissett statistic that blew me away. If he throws another 60-plus yard touchdown pass, he will tie Johnny Unitas for the Colts franchise record for 60-yard-plus touchdown passes in a season. Johnny Unitas had five in one season. And he was pretty good, Johnny Unitas. And right now, Brissett has four already and didn't even start the first game.
Yeah, well, hopefully the record stays intact at least through this weekend. But he's got a strong arm. He's a big, strapping quarterback. He's another guy that's tough to bring down. He's pretty nimble for a big guy. He's able to avoid the rush and escape and chuck it downfield. And they've got playmakers over there that can you know, really stretch the field.
As a general manager, if you're Chris Ballard, you've got to be loving this situation because it takes some of the pressure off future-wise about Andrew Luck. You have the ability to, you know, put him on IR, let him go get well. And then if he comes back and you're confident in him, it would seem like a lot of people would be interested in Jacoby Brissett, which makes him an important chip.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a GM, you just want your young players to progress and learn and grow offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, and try to get better on a week-in and week-out basis.
Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe, so glad to have you with us on Titans Radio. You're talking to the general manager, John Robinson, at 877-848-2671.
Hey, John, I was just wondering, you know, obviously the team has been transformed primarily through the draft, and what a great, you know, job you've done doing that, but you know, a lot of success there. Is there anybody that you've taken in the you know, since you've been in charge of the draft the last 2 years that maybe hasn't blossomed yet, but you still have high hopes for down the road, somebody that's still got a lot of potential that maybe hasn't come through yet?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Great question. Yeah, I think all of our young players, if you were to ask them, they, you know, there's room for improvement for all of them. I think, you know, Jack Conklin had a great year last year. He's played good this year. He had a couple plays, you know, last Thursday. Wish he had back. Same thing with Derrick Henry, with Austin Johnson, with all those guys. You know, Kevin Dodds, an often talked about player, he's really done a nice job in practice, and he's getting that confidence back. You can tell, you know, that foot injury really hampered him last year, and he's getting back to what I saw at Clemson and what we saw throughout the combine in the interview process, with that swagger, as it's often referred to, with the way he carries himself. And, you know, I'm looking for big things out of him. And, you know, some of those other guys, some of our, you know, young offensive linemen, Corey Levin, who we took last year, to continue to develop. He's doing a really nice job in practice, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to get stronger and learn the offense and learn the techniques.
Just like your children, people develop and grow up at different pace. It's very different. Is that one of the hardest things in personnel, and in particular being a general manager, is having different expectations and different sort of levels of patience and understanding with every individual player?
Yeah, and one of the basis of our scouting philosophy is what are they going to do in their second season, because so much goes on in that first season. They're in a new city. It's a new offense or defense. You know, they're playing against, you know, Hall of Fame type players.
Sure.
On a weekend and week. So just acclimating themselves to the pro game is a challenge in itself. So it's really the expectation is, what are they going to do in year two and year three? Are they going to continue to grow and develop?
And yet you say that you've had several rookies play well over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's a testament to them. It's a testament to our locker room, the veterans in our locker room, really helping those guys, bring those guys along, fostering them, because it really is this locker room. We said it when we first took over. We wanted a team first. A bunch of guys, and it's really proud of the guys and their mindset.
More time with John Robinson at 877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. Here's a Twitter question. I've noticed that Mariota feels uncomfortable as a pocket passer, being that he has always been in a faster-paced play-action offense. Any chance we can use that to our advantage in an up-tempo style offense going forward?
Yeah, I think that, you know, coaching staff, they're constantly looking at things to tweak and make sure that whatever gives us the best chance to score points, that's the most important thing. I think Marcus has done had some really good throws in the pocket. He had the throw to Corey on a deep out route Thursday night, the throw to Decker on a third down where he was getting pressured from one side and hung in there and made a big-time throw. You know, I think his comfort level in the pocket is certainly getting better, and he feels good back there.
He's having to do more of that because he has not been as mobile in recent weeks overall, although his mobility is certainly improving. For the long run, is this going to help him?
Yeah, I think it you know, it really will. The more that, you know, he can work from the pocket and slide and feel the rush and, you know, make a, you know, slight little step here, or, you know, duck his shoulder and move to the left a little here and still, you know, see the receivers downfield and be able to deliver a strike. It's the time of the play gets off quicker instead of escaping out the back of the pocket. Sometimes you have to do that. But I think it's going to help him just with his overall pocket presence and grow into the position.
It's going to be an interesting 6 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, we've got a you know, pretty good stretch here. You know, we've got to start stringing some together, trying to, you know, try to get on another run like we were before the Pittsburgh game, and take them one at a time. You know, and that's kind of been our mindset all season since we started, was, you know, worry about this week's opponent, and then we'll take the next one when that week rolls around.
Going to head to Morristown for our next call, and let's talk to David. David, final minutes of this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. Our special guest is John Robinson. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike and John. Good evening and happy Thanksgiving. I have a two-part question, one for each of you all. Mike, what's the probability of the Titans will make the playoffs this year? And also, John, I'm a veteran of the United States Navy. Just wondering, what all do y'all do for veterans? Thank you. God bless.
all right, good chance to make the playoffs. I mean, if you look at the standings at this point, the Titans are in a very good position. I think, John, the best part of it is if you take care of your business, you don't have to look around at everybody else. We've been in situations here where we needed five things to happen the last weekend of the season. So you've been in those situations if you're the Titans, and you've seen how those work out. This is certainly more preferable, where if you win four or five or six, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's kind of our mindset is you know, take care of our business, control what we can control, and you know, just let the chips fall where they were. To your question, Mr. David, about the service, appreciate your service and what you did for this country. We have a great relationship with, you know, the 101st Airborne up at Fort Campbell. Major General Pappas was down for Salute to Service game, and he was in the locker room. And we've done a lot of stuff up there where the team has gone up there and done training with those guys. We did a wives where a lot of women in the organization went up and trained with them. So it's extremely important to Coach Mularkey and myself and Amy Strunk and our entire organization, this country and those that serve it.
Cooper Steele did an amazing thing at the Salute to Service game. Titans partner Cooper Steele bought 1,000 tickets and distributed them at Fort Campbell's for the men and women of the armed forces up there and their families to be able to come and enjoy an NFL football game. And you and the Titans got them a big win, so I'm sure they had a wonderful day.
Yeah, it was cool. It was you know, my dad served in Vietnam, so he was at the game, and we get some of the Salute to Service gear, and I gave him my Salute to Service jacket and hat and thanked him for his service to the country and being a pretty cool dad.
Good stuff, John Robinson. Thank you so much for taking time tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Tighten up.
All right. Titans radio coverage is produced by Brandon Hagany. Titans radio producer Brad Willis. Our promotions director is Marie Misha. Traffic director Kendra Holt. Director of sales Hunter Rice. General manager Allison Warren. Operations manager Charlie Cook. And the executive producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Dave McGinnis, Mike Mularkey, and John Robinson, Mike Keith reminds you, have a great Thanksgiving. And we're on the air this Sunday from Lucas Oil Stadium. The Titans and the Colts will be there with Titans Countdown at 11 a.m. Central.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.